The hills are alive with the sound of music tonight. PWW Talks is live. It's not. We're not live. We're recorded. We're always recorded. And, you know, to lift a phrase from a podcast called Dudesy with Will Sasso and Chad Colchin, we are just two dudes shitting around, talking about wrestling and pretty much random shit, to be honest with you. Like, we started this as a wrestling podcast, and it's now just evolving into two dudes going through their midlife crises live in embrace.
Live and in color, as they would say.
Through the advent of colored TV technology.
Yes.
You can see two middle-aged men cry. Welcome to the show this week. We have a Daniel Burke.
Yes. I am good. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, you know. If I was doing any better, I'd be, I don't know, two nickels short of a dollar still. getting closer. You know, smaller money denominations. One day it'll be pennies.
Someday. Someday you'll just be like, what the hell?
When my life has passed me by, I'll walk around and wonder why.
Never thought my wildest dreams
for me.
Do 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 do.
One day.
Of all songs I think we would be singing along to, it would not be Sugar Ray.
Just close your eyes and I'll take you there. This place is warm and I don't care. We'll take a swim in a deeper sea. I'll come around and you reach for me. Yeah, I know that whole song by heart. What the fuck's up, dog?
What's up, dog?
What do
dog?
We got tonight? What up, dog?
We have, dog. We have Kyle Peterson coming in.
Kyle Peterson, tell me about him.
Yes. He big YouTube guy, but also big YouTube guy in the wrestling figure community, who actually has a book who is just coming out. It's on.
Is that a plug?
It's a plug. Right.
Anyways, how you doing? I'm John. He's Dan. Tell us about yourself, bud.
Hey guys, I'm Kyle Peterson. I'm a YouTube guy, working man in many hats, including a Motorhead hat right now.
Hell yeah, buddy. Did you ever see Lemmy?
Ever see him? Oh yeah, many times. I think I saw Motorhead maybe 27 times, something like that. Yeah. And boat shows and all kinds of stuff. Went on both Motorhead cruises, you name it.
Oh, up the irons, man.
What did we spend more money on, wrestling events or concerts?
Concerts for sure. Easily. Yeah, right. Easily. I mean, there was a time when I was really on the road for work that I was seeing shows, multiple shows every single week.
What part of the country you live in?
Midwest.
Midwest? Okay.
Hey, me too.
Oh, there you go.
Actually, he is from, because I was doing some research today. I saw that when you went and bought your second complete collection of the classic superstars, you went all the way to Chicago to do it.
Yep.
You drove the 5 hours to get there.
Yep.
to buy
5 hours to Chicago. That could be literally any, or in Illinois itself.
That's true.
You're a malleable state.
He
could literally be in Green Bay, past Green Bay. You could be in Michigan, past Kalamazoo, like Traverse City area. You could be so many different places. Or you could be in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois.
Could be in Wisconsin. You could be in Minnesota. There's a lot of places.
Yeah.
So you bought your second complete collection of the Classic Superstars line, which that story to me is just amazing, how you just went down there with a buddy in a van and were just like, yeah, I'm just going to load this van up.
Pretty much. There's no other way to do it. It cost a fortune to ship it. So that was the best way.
That was good logic, only because of the fact that, like, if you did decide to run that gauntlet again, it's like either I'm going to do this in one shot realistically, or if I have to, because separately it would just be annoying to try to complete it. Plus, yeah, literally you're turning over every rock you possibly can to try to get everything complete. Yeah. Myself being a huge wrestling figure collector, it was pretty much a given. I was like, I got to get them on. And then too, when I found out the book was coming out, I'm like, okay, I definitely have to get them on. The book that we're talking about is a complete guide to Jack Specific's Classic Superstars line. You can find the book on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble. Amazon, you can get the soft cover, but with Barnes & Noble, you can get the soft cover and the hard cover.
Very good.
And yes, from what you were explaining as well in the video, you pretty much, this is going to be a made-to-order print for people.
Yep.
And this is also a massive passion project for yourself, because from what you're making for the residuals from this, from the back end, I'm like, that's a lot of effort. That is a lot of time, and that is a lot of effort. But I completely understand it, considering, you know, with podcasting and also with content creation, this is definitely a passion project. We're not really in it for the money. We're in it more or less to kind of document our fandom and also just collections as well, because, you know, mine is definitely not as big as yours. Yours is probably one of the probably greatest toy collection I've ever seen, at least for wrestling figures. I know you also do Marvel Legends and stuff like that as well, so it's pretty vast. But your wrestling collection alone is single-handedly probably the best I've ever seen.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
The only other one that I can think of is maybe Matt Cardona, but, like, not, you know, like...
Put some respect on the Indie God's name.
Cardona's got some nice stuff, but is I think Kyle, as far as extensiveness and as far as the work that he's put into this, especially too with this, the book that's come out, I mean, over
it's about 700 pages. Yeah,
700 close. Pages
close,
gotta go 670 around that area. With us, so with Jeff George doing the forward, not the NFL quarterback,
correct,
the musician. And also Jeremy Prodauer, who was the president of Jack Specific and now is the current runner of Jazzwares, who run the AEW line.
Yep.
So I figured I'd start everything from kind of the beginning. When did your wrestling figure obsession start? What line? Was it LJN or did it go?
Yeah, the LJN was the first one I ever dove my feet into, kind of in the mid to end of the LJN era. And then I moved into Hasbro's and then Jack's Bone Crunchers from there. And then didn't really like the R3s and Titantrons. And then Classic Superstars got me back in very heavily.
Okay. I got, because the LJNs, I was a little too old, young for that. But the Hasbro's I was into big, and I started to get into BCA's, but then as soon as Maximum Sweat hit, I was like, I think I'm done. It was so brutal. Even though I thought WCW did great with Toy Biz with the Smash and Slam series, like that was like the first kind of pre-elite figures that I saw as far as accessories concerned and also clothing. But I didn't, but it took a while, I think, to kind of master it, which, again, when you talked about with the book and especially your passion for it, where for the last couple of years, every Tuesday, you've devoted to Classic Superstars, to the Classic Superstars line. Did you start collecting that from the beginning, or was it one of the kind of just like wait and see type deal?
Yeah, series one, I saw the Ultimate Warrior and I was hooked right there. That series one was quite the set.
Yeah, that that was also the first Hook, because that was the first Warrior figure in almost like a decade.
Yeah, it'd been a heck of a long time. And then, you know, even like Bret Hart in there was pretty rare with, he was not real good friends with WWF at the time, of course.
They really reached over that. They really reached over that kind of olive branch to go with a lot of talents that were, may or may not have been on the good boy, bad boy list at that time.
Yeah.
Which I think Mattel is maybe starting to do that a little bit, but not to the extent.
Yeah. Not as deep at all. Yeah. They got a lot more X's to cross off to be able to do that than Jax had. That's kind of the way it goes nowadays.
What was probably the most shocking figure that they released under that line? How do they pull this off?
Well, I mean, shocking. There's two ways of shocking. Johnny Rods is one, since he was kind of a jobber and a lot of people didn't know. I was always shocked he was in the line. I mean, that's right. How deep the line went. But then really the Ultimate Warrior is pretty shocking. I mean, he was at a lawsuit and the, you know, that DVD on the Warrior that the WWF put out at the time, the self-destruction. I mean, there was a lot of anti-Warrior in the WWF, but, you know, they, I guess, kind of put things aside for the sake of the money is really what they ended up doing.
Well, you think about it, Macho Man never got a Classic Superstars figure. He was a holdover until the Mattel days.
Yeah, Ricky Steamboat, weird. There was a few.
He never got. Yeah, it was weird that he never kind of got that Jax kind of brought back in, especially with that line.
It was a little bit in the book that, you know, they just didn't allow it. WWF would not sign off for it. They would not allow him to do it.
What were some of the ones, were there any other ones that were kind of, they were pushing hard for other than Macho Man that didn't get done?
Yeah. I mean, Ricky Steamboat, the Von Erichs were big ones. Who else there? You know, the Rougeaus even never got a chance. Dino Bravo. There was quite a few that they never did get to do just because of, you know, couldn't get signed off for whatever reason.
It's funny that they didn't get the Von Erichs, but they immediately Mattel got them.
Yep. And same with Steamboat, and same with Macho Man.
Pretty much in that first series of Legends, they were there. They were
the only thing I can think on. Is there was some more money involved with Mattel, a bigger company, and somehow, you know, I think we need to kick it off to a big start. We got to give those kind of guys, I think, is what it went to.
You provide wholesome content in a very weird kind of spot, because a lot of negativity in wrestling fandom, and then also with the toy community, it can also be a little negative.
Yeah.
Wow. So I think you have like a lot of your collection behind you, right? Is that right?
Yeah, this is my office. That's my kind of Marvel Legends behind me. Yeah.
Ooh. Marvel Legends. See, I'm not a toy guy. Like, I love collecting toys, but I don't have the support to have an extensive collection in my home. You know, no one wants to let me take an entire room for it. Yeah. So I've always been on the like outside looking in at it and just kind of admiring. Like, I see Danhausen, that actually got me into him as a wrestler with his toys, kind of that, and Matt Cardona and the guys like that, major wrestling figure podcast. But so since I'm the outsider perspective here, what really got you in? Oh yeah, this blur effect is terrible right now. what got you into changing from wrestling fan to wrestling toy fan, but also a wrestling fan, but also this massive collector? Because there is a portion of the population who collects one or the other, right? Like, they might collect the toys, but might not be as invested in the product per se.
Yeah, maybe. I think most people, you have to be invested in the product to get the figures. It would just be like, but I guess like anything else, there's always some anomalies out there that maybe you're that way. But you know, I've been a lifelong fan, so it's always went hand in hand for me.
Right. I mean, for me, you could buy Marvel toys and not be caught up on every comic, every movie, yeah, but still have a defined favorite superhero. Like, if I saw a Wolverine figure, I'm gonna pick it up because I like the way it looks and I love Wolverine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's definitely some of that, I think, with wrestling fans as well. Not everybody's all into it, and they're like, hey, I like Hulk Hogan. I'm just going to – if I see a Hulk Hogan, I'll pick it up. That's definitely there for sure.
Yeah, that's like Dan. Dan is a huge fan of just Hulk Hogan. In fact, I don't think he's really a fan of wrestling. How am I saying that? He really likes like Surfer Sting. After he dyed his hair brown, he didn't like him. He only likes bleach blonde guys. Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan.
As I'm staring at like Hollywood. As I'm staring at my Harley Race Classic Superstars figures and my Freebirds one and my
okay. I digress. I'm trying to give him shit.
But my Terry Funk figures, you know.
He's not taking it tonight. He wants to get right to the meat and potatoes. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask another question for you, and then I'm going to let you guys just do your thing. And I'm just going to observe the magic of two guys talking about their favorite stuff. So, do you have a favorite figure out of all your wrestling figures?
Yeah, it's that 89 LJN Ultimate Warrior figure. That was the figure that really was such a game changer for me. And I still look at that and I can think back to where I was as a little kid when I got that one. So that's definitely near and dear to my heart.
And do you ever talk to, like, Sid Bodie?
I've talked to him before. Yeah, he's a big LJN guy.
Huge LJN guy.
Customs, yeah. Yep.
Also, a really good guest of ours. Love talking to Sid.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, he's got quite the custom collection, that's for sure. It got stolen, like, a while back or something. I don't know if he ever got that back or he just started new. I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah,
I asked him about that, and I don't remember his answer.
I think it was after we interviewed him, but I think it was around the first. I don't know if it was the first of this year or like early on last year, but I do remember that happening quite a bit. And I was hoping he got all that stuff back because yeah. I mean, LJNs are rather hard to come by, especially yeah. with the work that he was putting into them. Do you still own all your original LJNs?
Nope, I sold them all long ago, and then I rebuilt the collection many years later.
Okay, so I'm assuming you're a completist with that. You pretty much have them all.
Yeah.
So you have all the LJNs. Do you have all the Hasbros?
Yep.
Yes. And you're keeping up to
one
that.
One more question.
Yes.
Do you have a dollar amount for your collection?
No. I mean, I'd have to sit and work at that for sure. But yeah, it's decent, that's for sure. But, you know, the highs and lows, the ups and downs of collections, we know how that goes too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I assume you're in the millennial age range.
Yeah.
Do you ever think that it could have been a house?
I own a house.
Yeah.
It could have been another house.
I want two houses. That's too much upkeep.
That's true.
But it could have been a house for the toys.
Maybe. You never know. It might be a future project. You just stay tuned to the channel. You might see that soon.
I think the GWC up in Detroit actually has his own house. I don't know if you've seen this guy. He's been featured on the Most Treasure. Yep. I think he has a whole house devoted to just wrestling collectibles.
Yep. He does.
That's amazing.
That's dedication right there.
That is amazing dedication. He's also got like a lot of the. There's one collectible that I've never really. And actually, it was funny because John and I were just talking about this recently. The people that buy like the tights, and I understand robes completely. Like, robes are cool. Okay. Like, if you can get a chance to buy a Ric Flair robe or like a Macho Man one. All the power to you completely. Like, I'm sure if you could get the WrestleMania 7 coat of the Ultimate Warriors or like the SummerSlam 91 like coat for the Ultimate Warriors, you'd do it in a heartbeat if you could get it for a good price.
Yeah.
But when you own, like, when people buy like tights and like things like that, I'm just like,
Yeah, I've never bought that guy. I've never been to that stuff either. So I don't know. never tripped my trigger.
It's just always, it's the one wrestling collectible that people are just like, oh, I have a collection of wrestling tights and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I get it, but I don't know. Have you been doing a lot of the secondary toys, like a lot of the retros now that are being done? I know that you've also had figures of yourself done, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, some fans have sent me those in the past. That's pretty fun.
It's amazing what people now can do with 3D printers. It's just like, oh, really? Someone made a Hasbro of me.
Yep. Yeah, I dabble. I get a lot of that secondary stuff or the smaller company stuff. I'm definitely into all that stuff as well.
What has been exciting is, because I feel like we're in this kind of golden age of wrestling figures, like as far as everything that's come out in the last 5-6 years or so. Do you feel like that? And all goes back to the Classic Superstars line, because I feel like that all this stuff that we've gotten recently wouldn't have been because of that, because that grew such a collection for people and something for people to grasp onto of a line that everybody fell in love with, including myself. And now with Coliseum Collection, things like that, do you feel like that the sky's the limit and that we're going to get more people that we never thought we were going to get before coming out with figures? I mean, the Muhammad Ali stuff, which you touched on a moment earlier, that was great getting that, but I'm already feeling like it's starting to get a little fatigued, as you said, because I'm just like, we just had the 2-pack and then you release the Elite. That's pretty much the same thing. And he's getting a retro.
And basic and superstars, yeah. And same thing with Mr. T. Got all that stuff. They ran the gauntlet, every figure they made for him.
Yeah, Mr. T got that ultimate. That, I mean, the ultimate's cool. I love the ultimate of Mr. T, and I love that, especially with that Hogan, because at WrestleMania 1 Hogan, it's fantastic. But I still saw that Hogan and Mr. T. That Mr. T was hanging around in stores for a long time. And I was surprised because I thought that it was better than the Elite they came out with a couple of years ago for that San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Yeah. I was surprised too.
And that just did not sell as much as I thought it was going to.
No, not at all.
Do you feel like that people are getting tired with the Ultimates now? Because there's a lot of them coming out.
That same boat. You know, I was buying a Mint on Card set and a Loose set, and it just got to be too much. Got to be too big and too much, and I think a lot of the specialness is worn off. The Ultimate feature is kind of, it doesn't feel Ultimate like it used to, where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting like 6 of these figures a year. Now you're getting 1 or 2 or 3 a month now.
Yeah, and especially too, that each store has their own exclusive. Yeah. Where Walmart has the Monday Night War ones coming out next month.
Yep.
And then Target has the Yokozuna one coming out next month.
Yep.
So there's 3 more. And then there's more lines that are going to be coming out. Then they had to start the Greatest Hits collection. I'm waiting for that because I got one of the Becky Lynch ones. And I'm waiting for that re-release, which will pretty much plummet the value of the originals.
Oh, it's coming. Like, oh! Yeah, it's coming for sure.
As long as we get that Mania 7 Savage eventually.
Yeah, like, I think it's all sitting in a warehouse someday. Once they re-sign him, I think it'll come out for sure.
Yeah. Is there anyone that they haven't kind of done yet? Because the Warrior ones are pretty much, I feel like they have exhausted every Warrior we could think of.
Yeah, in the Ultimates, yeah, I mean, the big deal Ultimate Warriors are pretty much done, I think. I'm sure I could think of something, but it's pretty much all, for the most part, been done, I think. I think Survivor Series 1990 would be a good one, but I don't know if that's in the cards. That might get an Elite.
That got the Elite. I thought they did the Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did the Survivor Series, yep.
There's been so many Warriors, I know it's tough to lose track sometimes. It's
hard to keep track.
But I bought them all too. Like, I never thought in my wildest dreams, if you would have told me 15 years ago, you're going to have a decent selection of Ultimate Warrior figures, I would have been like, yeah. only because it's like as a wrestler and as a personality at certain points, I just really didn't get him. And Mania 6 was heartbreaking because I'm a Hulkamaniac. And of course, I'm talking to someone that was probably jumping up and down cheering when that happened.
Exact opposite.
He's just like, yeah, I beat him. And I'm just like, ah. Were you rooting for Terry Funk against Flair in 89?
I was, yeah.
Oh, that's
funny. I loved both, though, but that's where I really came into Terry Funk, finding out who he was, and I just enjoyed it so much leading up to that one. And I liked both of them. Flair and Terry Funk are on my Mount Rushmore, so I couldn't really lose either way, but I did enjoy Terry more.
I'm so glad we've gotten decent Terrys to come out like that. That first series of the Coliseum collection, the ECW one they came out with, and then the Chainsaw Charlie one, which I didn't expect we would see, only because of the fact that it's just, he has to come with a chainsaw and he's wearing like a
overalls.
He's wearing overalls and then he's got like the pantyhose over his head.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised no one has had freaked out about that and been like, ah. Yeah, it's because we grew up in an era where we remember the SummerSlam set with Al Snow. So all it took was someone to be like, ah, I don't like this. Where do you think wrestling figures are going to be in the next 5 years, do you think?
Who knows? I think Mattel Creations and the Vault is a future of, we're going to see a lot more of that kind of stuff, I think, in the future. I think there might be more, like we talked about earlier, 3D technology. I think that'll jump into things as things, you know, keep progressing. And I think maybe, who knows, print on demand your own Mattel wrestling figure and, you know, things like that. And I think even in outside of Mattel, I can see the third party companies growing more because anybody can do it at home now. So I think there's going to be a lot of leaps and bounds a lot quicker than in the past.
With 3D printing. And how good it's getting. I mean, there is some printers out there. They're very, very expensive.
Yeah.
But the quality of the print does not look printed. You know, you don't see the lines anymore. It's articulation possible. Hell, you can even print clear. You couldn't do that before. When you're talking about wrestling figures being printed, are we still far off from it, though? I mean, I don't see the quality you get out of, you know, out of plastic molding technologies and what they've been doing. I don't know if you can get that same quality at home. And then you get some people who release botches, you know. Oh, look, I made this weird-ass MJF with three eyes and a bow tie. You know, like... Is there something where that is safeguarded from being a farce?
I don't know. I think the future, I just think we'll see a lot of stuff move in the next 5 years, what we're talking about as far as that 3D. I got to think things will keep getting better. The cost of printers will go down, and I think there will be some things moving ahead pretty fast in that. I think technology is really at warp speed right now, so who knows?
Let's talk even about. Oh, Dan, you wanted to ask something. Sorry.
Well, kind of a follow up on this, because being familiar with the collection community is just like with Kyle. There is that dreaded R word that has been kind of lingering over the economy's head for a while, and I'm already starting to kind of see it. A little bit, but not much. But I feel like it's starting a little bit. Do you feel like now that with the overproduction of things that they might kind of blow up the market a little bit where there's kind of like a crash where, but also too, there's always going to be an overabundance because of people's money is going to be a lot tighter because of certain things that could be happening with the U.S. economy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we see the ups and downs of collection. It's definitely down the last year or so compared to COVID heights. So, and that's collectibles. And that's why I always say on my channel, if you want to invest, I wouldn't invest in toys. I'd put the money in your 401k is probably the way to go. This is more of a fun hobby, and that's, and we're seeing that. I think people at the end of the day, they're going to choose food and shelter over their action figures, or at least they should. And I think we're
seeing more every day. Not that.
As I've gotten older, I've realized that, like, oh wait, I need to live. I can't get this. I can't get this Ric Flair figure. Even though I have a like, and I'm an in-box guy. Like, everything I have is in-box, which my friends yell at me all the time. They're just like, "Yeah, let them breathe." I'm like, no. I'm like, I like to display them. I like that they're there. I can hang them up on my wall. Don't invite me over. Why? Because you should open them all up.
Yeah, I'm going hypothetically. There may be duct tape in a chair, and you have to watch it as I open up one of your Hulk Hogan figures. I'm not going to tell you which one either.
You'd probably go for the big one.
I don't even know what you have.
Well, the priciest Hogan I have is the LJN 16 inch in the box. The box is crap, but the figure itself hasn't really been played with. So, and well, that's,
let's put it this way. I'm in a wheelchair, so my height is not great. Anything that's in my, put it in my top grab shelf range.
I hate to be that mean. Just put it on the top shelf.
Hide your figures.
Exactly. Oh, another John Cena.
Okay, I did have a question.
You have a question?
I don't know why that fucking killed me, but just the thought of Dan saying no on this figure on like the top of his bookshelf killed me. You do YouTube content creation. Talk to us about the process in saying, you know what, I want to share my hobby with the world. I feel like this is something that I can provide knowledge for, interest for, meet other collectors like myself, like-minded individuals, because we did talk about wrestling being cool again. The interest in wrestling-related podcasts, topics, videos going up. How do you approach content creation? Like, what do you find are the biggest hurdles that you've had to come across learning it, being a content creator, and being a niche content creator?
Yeah, I mean, I'm far from an expert on anything content creator. I mean, it's just a hobby for fun. I got started because I had a buddy that said, you know, you would be really good at this, you should do this, and you should basically show your collection, you know, to everybody. People love to see your collection. So I said, okay, I'll do that. And then I did a video talking about it, and then people, you know, were very a lot of good responses to it. They said, hey, you should do more videos, talk about some of this stuff. And it just kind of snowballed from there. It wasn't anything I set out to plan to do. And then, you know, it's turned into the animal it is right now, I guess. For now, at least it is. You never know when the last one will be, but just have fun. As long as it's fun, you keep on grinding. But by no means am I an expert. It's just one man's story, basically, and how it snowballed is kind of how I always kind of explain it.
Do you think you'd like Hulk Hogan better if he was actually the bassist of Metallica?
You know, I think that would be a pretty cool thing on his resume for sure. If he was into those early albums, I think that would have been something amazing. We'd be talking about him
Ride in a lot brother, of different ways. Master of Brothers. And brother for all.
Jack. Now,
Reject.
When you were doing the when you made the book, now the hard copy edition, so it's more or less a coffee table book. So can it turn into a coffee table? Damn it, John!
If only. I left that to Kramer. Kramer can keep that one.
He just goes right in there. I'm just like, dang it.
You thought you would get it over me.
I did.
But
I
had not gotten got me.
I was thinking about that as soon as we booked you. I'm like, I'm going to ask that question. I know. Hopefully he'll get it, which most people our ages do only because of the fact that everybody grew up with Seinfeld.
Seinfeld is the best TV show if you have ADHD. A lot of people like when, especially with ADHD, have it. That you can know what's coming next, little predestination. It's that comfort feeling. With Seinfeld, even though I know every episode, like the back of my hand, it still feels fresh every single time. Like there's a nuance that I forgot, or one of the episodes after Bette Midler and Fusilli Jerry, there's a macaroni Midler just sitting on Kramer's shelf. That's never discussed, never talked about, but it made me laugh harder than anything that was referenced the rest of that episode.
Yeah, the little things.
It's Fusilli Jerry. That's a figure I want.
Well, you want a Mantar figure. That's the one that you're trying to also push. I want a
fucking Mantar figure, damn it. Justice for Mantar.
Well, review coming tomorrow on the channel.
Here's my boy.
Yeah. I'm actually doing a giveaway, a 101 Mantar sample that I have. I'm giving it away for 40,000 subscribers.
Nice. I'll take it.
Justice for Mantar. It's my hashtag.
40,000 is a very big number. That is a really good number. And I think that, again, as far as a content creator too, especially in the wrestling community, especially in the action figure community too, I really truly do feel you're one of the most wholesome people and just all around good guys, because there are just so many people that you come across that could just be so toxic,
condescending.
A lot of negativity. I've never understood it. It's supposed to be something to get you away from the day-to-day stresses. Why make it more stressful and why argue about it? I've never understood it.
Oh, you only have that set of figures? I have the ultimate figure and the LJN to go with it. It's all of a sudden a Tokyo Dome match. Final boss, Cork and Hall.
Well, we don't want to take too much of your time because I know you got a busy life, you know, father, work, all that good stuff. So,
Mantar aficionado.
So, be sure to subscribe to Kyle Peterson on YouTube.
Plug your socials, by the way. Yeah.
I'm SirPaul64 on the X and the_Kyle_Peterson on Threads and Instagram. So I'm out there on those. And I got two YouTube channels. So Kyle Peterson 1, Kyle Peterson 2. So overflow.
And the complete guide to Jack Specific's Classic Superstars line by Kyle Peterson. And also forwards written by Jeff George, the musician again. And Jeremy Padower,
not the of NFL Jack quarterback. Specific,
over 675 pages, close to 700. You can get the soft cover edition through Amazon and the hardcover edition and soft cover edition. So the variant, the Chase variant of the hardcover is available through Barnes & Noble. Kyle, thanks for coming on again. Huge fan. I guess when something big happens in the news department, as far as the wrestling figure action community, if anything massive happens, we could bring you on again. Unless you want to work on another book.
I already have one almost done. You never know.
Oh, perfect.
Whoa.
You never know.
Well, hey, again, Dan gave you a great lead out. Thank you for that, Dan. But on behalf I can't speak. I'm so sorry. On behalf of everyone here at PWW Talks, we hope you have a great night, and we'll see you next time.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.